I want to speak this evening about something that should be, our priority and should be at the forefront of the life of every Christian, and that's prayer. In the Bible, there are approximately 367 specific verses about prayer. Prayer is something that we do from the time we say our first prayer going to bed, around the dinner table, and up until the day our deathbed. Prayer is at the same time the most natural thing we do, and yet it can also be one of the most difficult things we do. Some of us are disillusioned with prayer. Having had one too many prayers seem to go unanswered, while others simply don't have time to pray, or maybe a better way of putting that is they don't take time or make time to pray. Some of us have tried time and time again to discipline ourselves to set a particular time of the day or even for a quiet time, only to give up because we couldn't keep it. Prayer can indeed take many forms. It can be a desperate pleading to God to help reveal his way through a problem or through some type of an emergency. It can be bringing a loved one or someone we know who's ill or in some kind of trouble before God. Maybe intense intercession prayer for a missionary who is finding the going very tough at that time. Anyone can pray at any time or indeed in any place. God has designed prayer as a means of intimate and joyful fellowship between God and man. To pray is to let Jesus into our needs, to give him permission to use his power to alleviate our distress and to let Jesus be glorified. His name in the midst of all of our needs is what we need to glorify. We should lift our hearts to him in praise and times of rejoicing. God wants to be brought into all aspects of our lives, all aspects of our decisions, whether they're happy or indeed whether they're sad. Robert Murray McShane, the well-known Scottish preacher, once said, "What a man is in his prayer closet is what a man is." These words highlight the fact that the believer's prayer life serves as an accurate gauge or thermometer as to the state of their spiritual temperature. I believe our prayer life is the truest monitor of how deep our relationship with God really is. It's important, I think, that sometimes that we would take spiritual stock of ourselves from time to time. It's a useful exercise to stop and ask ourselves, where are we in our walk with God? Where are we in our walk with God? The Lord said through the prophet Haggai in Haggai chapter 1, to give careful thought to your ways. Maybe that's something we should all do sometimes. This is something we should do. Our prayer life will give an accurate reflection on our true spiritual temperature and where we are with God. If you're cold and stale in the place of prayer, then that mirrors the fact that you're cold and stale in spirit. Why is it that our prayer meetings are the worst attended meetings in the church? Why is that? The Christian life is not a playground. The Christian life is more of a battleground. The Christians in the Bible are referred to as soldiers. And as soldiers, he's equipped us with his armour, the armour of God. The armour of God protects us against the arch enemy, Satan, who fires everything and anything at us to try and pierce that armour of God. Prayer isn't mentioned as a part of the armour, but it is of vital importance in the defence against the attacks of Satan, which can't be done without. God's soldiers or warriors must live and breathe in the atmosphere of prayer if they are to have victory over sin. Ephesians 6 verse 18 in a reading said there, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. For all the saints. Here Paul tells us how to pray. Firstly, we are told to pray in the Spirit. We should pray to our Heavenly Father through the Son, inspired and led by Him. Prayer should be a way of life. It should be continual, not just an isolated incident, an isolated act. Romans 8, verse 26 and 27 reads, "Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints and according to the will of God." If, like me, you sometimes feel frustrated or perplexed or fed up in your prayer life because you don't know sometimes what you should pray, how you should pray and what to pray for, you sometimes pray selfishly, ignorantly, and seems as if you're almost repeating yourself over and over again. It's in those times of weakness that the Spirit comes alongside us and intercedes for us. We're also told to pray at all times. In the ESV, that's what it says, all times. While the NIV, it reads on all occasions, happy or sad occasions. Sometimes when life is going very well for Christians and they're just zooming along there, they sort of just dwell on themselves. They're doing well in their private life and everything seems to be going well for them, and they start to rely on themselves rather than God. And their prayer life slowly but surely withers and gets less and less. Maybe everything in your life seems to be going wrong and you can't see the point in praying to God. Maybe a tragedy has hit you some way, some member of your family or friend, and maybe in the back of your mind you're questioning God why this happened. We're told here to pray on all occasions, at all times. It's in times of crisis that our faith is tested. And if you let Christ, he will see you through it. Paul then tells us to pray with all kinds of prayers. A man called Robert Law once said, "Prayer is not about getting man's will done in heaven. It's about getting God's will done on earth." How often do we come to God with our shopping list? And what's that shopping list? It's all of things for ourselves, all for things for our church, all things for our family. But what can we do for God? A few years ago, my own church, as you went from the wee meeting from Kilkeel, we done a course, a navigator's course, in 2-7 course, and it was given guidelines on how to pray. And there were four areas that we were told to remember them, and it was by ACTS, A-C-T-S. A for adoration, C for confession, T for thanksgiving, and S for supplication. Firstly, adoration. Adoration is the sort of the purest kind of prayer, and it's all about God, all for God. There's nothing in it for me, nothing in it for us. We should tell him we love him, acknowledge his greatness, his majesty and sovereignty. Then C, confess. You now bring your many sins and fears before him. You bring those fears to God so that the chance of communication with God stays clear and open, that we can commune with him and have a close relationship with him. Thirdly, T for thanksgiving. We should then express our heartfelt thanks and gratitude to God for his many blessings that he's bestowed upon each and every one of us. We should pray for specific things, things like our family, our business, our church, and even thank him for the hardships. He does send those hardships for a reason. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 17 and 18 says, "Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." And then we come to supplication. I must admit, I didn't always know what supplication meant. I'm from the country, you see. But that was a word I didn't know what it meant. But it means asking for earnestly and humbly. This is part of your prayer life for you. You make your petitions known to God, bringing your family and friends before him, and bringing your concerns to him regarding the lost, those who still don't know Christ as their Lord and Saviour. We must be careful not to pray out of a force of habit or a sense of duty. God has granted us the priceless privilege of fellowship with himself, so that he might, that his will might be done on earth as it is in heaven. Ephesians 6:18 goes on to say, to keep alert. And the phrase watch and pray occurs quite often in the Bible. When Nehemiah was repairing the walls of Jericho, the arch enemy was trying to stop him, to stop the work. But what did Nehemiah do? He watched and prayed and defeated the enemy. We also need to watch and pray. We need to pay attention to our attention to prayer if we are to defeat the enemy. And the enemy is always there. There's always temptation all around us waiting for us to let our guard down. Our prayers need to be focused. We need to guard against drowsiness in our own lives, about mind wandering, and about preoccupation with all things. Prayer's not easy. The devil wants to distract us when we come to prayer. We need to stay alert and concentrate. The devil hates prayer. The Bible says the devil trembles when the weakest of saints is on their knees before God at the throne of grace. Satan knows the power of prayer and will play upon our minds and make us weary in the place of prayer in order to try and stop the power of prayer coming through. Paul goes on to say to always keep on praying, to make supplication for all the saints. We as individuals need to persevere. We need to stick at it and not give up. We must keep asking and praying and thanking God. Perseverance in prayer doesn't mean that we're trying to persuade God into our way of thinking or trying to twist his arm, but that we are deeply burdened and concerned and can't rest until we get an answer from God. Paul finishes that verse by telling us to pray for all the saints. When we say the Lord's Prayer, we begin with our Father, not my Father. We all pray as part of a large extended family. Even Paul asked for prayer. And surely if someone like Paul thought he needed to ask for prayer, we shouldn't be afraid or embarrassed to ask for prayer either. Do you pray for your saints? Do you pray for your minister or your elders? Just because someone is ordained in the Presbyterian ministry, the Presbyterian church, doesn't mean that they're beyond the reach of Satan's tempting power. They're engaged in conflict too and need to be supported in prayer by their fellow soldiers. Do you pray for different organization leaders in your church? Some of the organizations have now finished up for the season and the leaders are getting a well-deserved rest. Do you pray for your leaders? Do you pray for more helpers and more leaders to help out in your church? Or maybe truthfully, you could answer your own prayers by helping out yourself. Are you praying that God in his mercy will touch the lives of some of those young people in the different organizations and save them? And do you have a vision for prayer? The results of prayer are not dependent upon the power of the one who prays, nor is it the sincerity or clear understanding of what we're praying for that our prayers are answered. To pray is to open the door of our hearts, giving Jesus access to our needs and permitting him to use his power in dealing with our prayers. Only when we have a living relationship with God, with Christ, will our prayers be answered. I remember a good few years ago in our own church, we had a mission and Billy Patterson was speaking at it. But before we started that mission, 2 years before it, Billy came down and spoke to us. And Billy said, before you start praying about this mission, man, if you've any unconfessed sin in your life, confess it. Do away with that barrier that is between you and God, or God won't hear your prayer. Well, thank God he did answer that prayer and there's a lot of people were saved during that mission. Because God will not honour prayer if we have unconfessed sin in our lives. In order for us to walk day by day in fellowship with God, we need to acknowledge the truth concerning ourselves. Sometimes that's not very easy to acknowledge the truth about ourselves. To deny that we have a sinful nature means that we are deceiving ourselves and are untruthful. You tell a story and you exaggerate. God doesn't call that exaggeration. God calls that a lie. You call it strong language. God calls it swearing. You call it telling the truth about someone else in the church. God calls that gossip. 1 John 1 verses 8 and 9, John makes a distinction here between sin in verse 8 and sins in verse 9. The sin in verse 8 refers to our evil, corrupt nature, while the sins in verse 9 refers to the evil that we have done in the past. What we are is a lot worse than anything we have done. But we can thank God that he has died for our sin and sins. For us to have a close fellowship with God and indeed with our fellow Christians, we must regularly confess our sins. We have to bring them out into the open before God and admit them, call them for what they are, and forsake them. Proverbs 28:13 says, Proverbs 28 verse 13 says, he who conceals his sin does not prosper, but whoever confesses and renounces them finds mercy. When we confess our sins, we can claim the promise in verse 9 that God is faithful and just to forgive us of sins and will purify us from all unrighteousness. He doesn't say, and I'll maybe purify you from all unrighteousness. He says, I will purify you from all unrighteousness. He is also just to forgive because he found a righteous basis for forgiveness as he hung on that cross in our place. Verse 9 goes on to say that it will also cleanse us from all unrighteousness. When we confess our sins, we must believe on the authority of God. We must believe on God's word that it's true, that he forgives us, and if he forgives us, we must be willing to forgive ourselves. And sometimes that is hard to do, to forgive ourselves. God's word contains many remarkable promises about prayer, which are directed or given to his people as an encouragement and a challenge to their faith. God said in Jeremiah 33 verse 3, call to me and I will answer you, and I will tell you great and hidden things that you have not known. God's word doesn't suggest or recommend that we pray. Here we receive a clear command to pray. Call to me. In our daily lives, we always take time out and we don't forget to eat. I don't think there's anybody here would forget to eat. We don't forget to go to bed to rest or sleep at night. We don't forget to clothe ourselves when we get up in the morning. But how often do we forget to pray or not take or make the time to come into God's presence? God knows how heavy our hearts can be sometimes. Maybe we're worried about something or someone. Or maybe we're under a sense of sin. We feel that weight of sin on our shoulders. That's when Satan will be at his busiest, undermining God's authority and saying to us, why should you pray? You're only wasting your time. And may try to cause you to doubt the very effectiveness of prayer. God knows us. He knows our hearts. And that is why he gave us the command to pray. No matter how heavy the burden may be, no matter how trivial the problem, take it to God in prayer and leave it with him. Hours for the world, but yet moments for God. In Matthew 21:22, Jesus said to his disciples, whatever you ask in prayer, you will receive if you have faith. James wrote in chapter 5:16, the prayer of a righteous man has great power as it is working. We maybe have to be careful here and explain that these seemingly unqualified promises concerning prayer must be understood in the light of all that the Bible teaches on the subject of prayer. It doesn't mean that Any Christian can ask anything they want and expect to get it. If that was the case, and God did answer all our prayers, there'd be no sickness, there'd be no death. We'd probably be living in luxurious houses and driving big fancy cars. There'd be no wars and no starving people with hunger in the world. We'd be continually praying for worldly things, laying up treasures on earth instead of in heaven. If it is God's will that someone be raised from a sick bed, it will happen. But if it's not God's will, it will not happen, no matter how much prayer goes up for it. We mightn't understand why God allows some of the things to happen that does happen, but we can be sure that whatever happens is not outside of his control. God doesn't necessarily make them happen, but he does allow them to happen. We must pray in accordance with conditions laid down in the Bible. For God to answer our prayers, we must have faith that he will hear and answer them. George Muller, the well-known author and preacher, who's written a lot of Christian books, was also a great man of prayer. And he often said that, "Often I am asked what is faith? In the simplest manner in which I am able to express it, I answer, faith is the assurance that the thing which God has said in his word is true, and that God will act accordingly to what he has said in his word. This assurance, the reliance on God's word, this confidence is faith." The more we read and the more we study the Bible, the more knowledge and confidence we will have, which will build up our faith. Why is it we're so surprised whenever we see an answer to prayer, whenever we're praying for something unanswered? Quite often we're surprised. We're surprised because of the lack of faith. We usually quite often think of murder and adultery or theft as among the worst type of sin. But a sin we don't often think about is prayerlessness. Is prayerlessness. The root of all sin is self-sufficiency. Believing that we can do it on our own, we can go our own way, independent from God. When we fail to wait prayerfully on God's guidance and strength, we are saying with our actions, if not with our lips, how much of our service for God is characterized by going alone. The opposite of such independence is prayer, where we acknowledge our need of God's instruction and guidance in our life. We need to be patient and wait on God answering in this way and according to his will. What way do we pray? Do we pray to bring God into our lives to solve our problems, or do we pray to bring God into our lives to show us what he wants us to do to serve him and serve his purpose while we are here on earth? I'm very conscious that what I've said this evening is aimed mainly at Christians. But can I assure you, if there's anyone here who still hasn't committed their life to Christ, that you're being prayed for? It could be your parents. It could be your brother or sister. Maybe a son or daughter. Maybe they're no relative at all, but they're concerned about the state of your soul and are patiently waiting on answered prayer. No preacher can save anyone. You can't even save yourself. You need to realise that you are a sinner. You need to come to God in repentance, ask him into your life, and ask him to guide and direct you through the remainder of what time you have left on this earth. There's no guarantees in this life. Maybe you plan to wait until you've enjoyed life and then get saved. Maybe you're waiting until you retire and then maybe you'll think about it. Whatever stage you're at in life's journey, God has spurred you this far and you should be thankful. There's no guarantee how much longer he will indeed spur you. Isaiah 55 verse 6 says, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his ways and the evil man his thoughts unto our God, for he will freely pardon." It doesn't matter what sins you have committed in the past. If you come repenting, telling God that you're sorry for your sin and ask him for forgiveness, this verse says that he will freely pardon. Have you ever felt God speaking to you, I wonder, and yet you haven't responded? Don't leave it too late, or it may be too late. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that as we open it, Father, that if we pray for it, prayerfully open it, that you will instruct us, that you will teach us in the things of life and what we should and shouldn't do. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for prayer. We thank you, Father, for those who have prayed for us in years gone by. And yet, Lord, while we said earlier, some of them maybe didn't see an answer to that prayer. But Father, we thank you for your love and mercy that you reached down and lifted us out of the miry clay and saved us. But Father, we pray for every head bowed here that, Lord, we will reflect on our lives, reflect on where we are, where our walk is with you, and reflect on our prayer life. Father, be with us now for the remainder of this service with a cup of tea afterwards, and take us to our homes in safety, because we do ask this in our Saviour's precious name. Amen. Amen.